Welcome to Walking with Jesus. This is a devotional journey through books of the Bible from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. I'm Jason Van Bemmel. We are on day 23 of our study in Hebrews, right in the middle of Hebrews chapter 7, taking a look at verses 11 to 17 today and asking more questions about Melchizedek, this strange Old Testament character who shows up so centrally here in Hebrews. We're asking this question: how does Melchizedek point us to the need for Jesus? Our scripture today is Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek, rather than one named after the order of Aaron? For when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. For the one of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe, from which no one has ever served at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord descended from Judah, and in connection with that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." That's Hebrews 7, verses 11 to 17 in the English Standard Version. Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But what if it is broken? You see, why would God bring up Melchizedek in Psalm 110, which was written hundreds of years after the establishment of the Levitical priesthood and the law of Moses? Why promise a coming Messiah who would be priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, when God himself had established the priesthood of Aaron and his descendants within the tribe of Levi? Why do that? Well, Hebrews 7:11 tells us why. Perfection could never be attained through the Levitical priesthood. Much of the rest of Hebrews will unfold exactly why this is true, but the point at this point in Hebrews is this: if the law of Moses and the Levitical priesthood established under that law were capable of providing salvation, Psalm 110 would have been completely unnecessary. In other words, if it wasn't broke, God wouldn't have had to fix it. But would the new promised priest truly be better than the old Levitical priests? Yes, in many ways. This here is where the superiority of Melchizedek and the exact nature of the promise given in Psalm 110 become very important. Melchizedek was superior to Levi, to Aaron, because he was a king as well as a priest, and also because Abraham paid tithes to him. Yet the promise in Psalm 110 goes even beyond the picture of Melchizedek that we have in Genesis 14, which even in of itself shows the superiority of Melchizedek. God promises a Messiah who will be a priest forever. How could anyone be a priest forever? Only if he could live forever. So the promise of the Messiah priest in the order of Melchizedek is a promise of one who has an indestructible life, one who will never die. This promise in Psalm 110 lines up with another promise of the Messiah in 2 Samuel 7, verses 13 to 17. Here, God promises David that he will have an offspring whose kingdom would be established forever. God says, "I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." So these promises point to an eternal priest and an eternal king, and they come together in Jesus, who is from the tribe of Judah, a descendant of David, and Jesus is made king and priest forever in the glory of his resurrection by the power of an indestructible life. He is the priest we need. He is the one who brings the salvation the Levitical priesthood could never achieve.